Hi, I'm Jonathan Mauriat, lead park ranger here at George Washington Birthplace National Monument. Join us on our special holiday episode of Upon This Land, History, Mystery, and Monuments. For this episode, we've been celebrating the holidays here in the Northern Neck by having a bunch of different special events, including some musicians from the group Ampersand. And these musicians, they interpret old classic American traditional music with modern instruments to bring that music to modern ears. They're led by Beth Lawden, Dick Hogel, and Toffer Lawden, and they were presenting today, December 15th, here in the park. Now, you're in luck if you missed it, because we actually recorded the entire performance, and we're going to be playing it for you in this special episode that rounds up our first season of Upon This Land, History, Mysteries, and Monuments.
I'm Beth Lawden, my partner Dick Hogel, and son Toffer Lawden. We hail from the eastern shore of Maryland up near Easton. The song you just heard was called Bear Dance, and it was played on the hammer dulcimer, which is an early instrument that arose up from the, two places, in China and also from the British Isles. And so we are more familiar with them as a Celtic instrument. For those listening who aren't actually here in the room, it's a large instrument with 71 strings, and it very much takes the place of a piano. You can't really haul a piano out to a dance. So this kind of is the same idea. When you pluck a key on a piano, a hammer hits a string, and it's just like the inside of a piano pulled out, and you can carry it around. Keeps the beat. It's a lot louder than other instruments. So. The next song that we're going to do you want to talk about this one?
Sure. So this is a song celebrating the tenacity of love and has really wonderful words. So this hails from the broadside ballad tradition probably in the early part of the 17th century, so in the early to mid 1600s, again in the English tradition very much, and was a song that would have been played probably with a lute or a viol around, but we're going to do it on the penny whistle or the tin whistle, which I'll talk more about in a bit. And listen to the words, because they're quite wonderful. And the turn around.
Mountains and over the waves, under the fountains and under the graves, under floods which are the deepest, which Neptune obey, over rocks which are the steepest, love will find out the way. Where there is no place for the glowworm to lie, where there is no space for receipt of a fly, where the gnat dares not venture lest herself fast she lay, but if love comes he will enter and will find out the way. Some think to lose him by having him confined. Some do suppose him, poor thing, to be blind. But if ne'er so close you wall him, do the best that you may. Blind love, if so you call him, soon will find out the way. There is no striving to cross his intent. There's no contriving his plots to prevent, but if once the message greet him that his true love doth stay, if death should come and meet him, love will find out the way.
This last one was also played on the bouzouki, which is another Irish instrument. It's also known as a Greek instrument, played attuned like a mandolin, but it's voiced a lot lower, so you hear that deeper sound. I'm going to do a quick retuning here. Do you want to talk about this, or shall
I? Yeah, I'm happy to chat while you're tuning. So this is another love song, I guess, but a song of love gone wrong in some ways. And it is quite early, certainly solidly 19th century, but perhaps even a little bit sooner than that. It talks about a steamboat. And steamboats, you know, I think of as almost on the Mississippi and things like that, but they were actually developed in England by the 1730s. There were steamboats, again, about a century before I tend to think of them, and well into the U.S. by the 1780s. And we know there was a demonstration. John Fitch demonstrated a steamboat to the Continental Convention delegates from Philadelphia on the Delaware River in 1787. And so, take it away.
It's called Handsome Molly.
Wish I was in London or some other seaport town. Set my foot on a steamboat, I'd sail the whole world round. Sailing on the ocean, I'm sailing on the sea. Think of handsome Molly, wherever she may be. Put on a steamboat and sail the whole world round. Sailing on the ocean, I'm sailing on the sea. I think of handsome Molly, wherever she may be. Think of handsome Molly,
wherever she may be.
In that song, the clicking noise that you were hearing is an instrument typically called the bones or the rhythm bones, although they're usually made out of wood these days. And that's an instrument that's quite old, likely from the West African tradition, and came over to the States probably with some of the enslaved people who came against their will from West Africa. But they make a lovely sound that gets included in a lot of sort of Celtic and Irish music, English music, and especially in the Appalachian tradition.
So our next song is also a love song. It's called Bonnie Portmore, and it's really a love song to a piece of property. And it's almost a 17th century money pit, what we would call a money pit now. This was, let me just make sure I get his name right. Lord Conway, he bought a piece of property. It was on the edge of a lake, and it was kind of castle-like. And he thought he was gonna dig out a moat and do all this great stuff, and it ended up collapsing into the lake. And it was Portmore Lake, actually, in County Antrim in Ireland. And he had planted a beautiful ornament tree in his yard, like we might plant a dogwood, something like that. In the 1700s, this was, a fine thing. But in addition to his moats falling into the lake, this tree got hit by a storm in 1760 and was destroyed. And to add insult to injury, the tree was taken away to England to make boats, which was kind of an insult at that point. So this is a lament to a piece of property, Bonnie Portmore. It also talks a little bit about that idea, where will the birds nest because the trees are gone. At this time, England was supporting its shipbuilding industry and was basically deforested, which, we kind of don't think about that. Where do the animals go? Where do the birds go? So this song has that little underneath environmental message. shall tell when my last day will come. I lie on your shore. Sweet will my dreams be of Bonnyport Dulcimer. So we're going to play a traditional Irish melody written by a harpist named Turlough O'Carolan. He was born in 1670 in Ireland. He was blinded by smallpox when he was 18. And his parents' employer said, well, you know, you have to make a living. So they taught him music. He became a composer and a harpist. And they sent him off to travel the country with a manservant, a couple of mules. Off they went. And they would come to your home, and they would stay for a week or two or three and play music for you. And of an evening, they would also play for your guests who might stay for a week or two or three. So he was clever in that he was a wonderful musician, but he also composed songs, tunes for usually the lady of the house. In this case, it was the 19-year-old daughter of the house. Her name was Fanny Power. And this is a planksty, which is a type of dance. Planksty Fanny Power. Also on the hammer dulcimer with a double D whistle, which is a larger penny whistle, and guitar.
So At this time of the year, certainly several hundred years ago, or even longer ago than that, you might take part in a wassail, which is a tradition, particularly from the southwestern part of England, in Cornwall and that area, where it sort of takes two forms. One, very much like caroling, you would go from house to house with your friends and some libations, and demand, while singing for the people of the house, that they tip you, usually in food. And so this is, you know, bring us some figgy pudding and things like that. It's demanding food of the people that you are serenading. There's a related tradition where you would wassail and go into the apple orchards, and you would sing to the trees, usually in the wintertime, to ensure a good harvest, you know, again, for good luck. And these were seen as good luck traditions in both forms. But this is a song that comes from the house-to-house tradition from the village of Malpas in Cornwall. Now the harvest being over and Christmas drawing in, please open your door and let us come in with our wassail. And the mistress sitting down by the fire, while we poor wassail boys do trudge through the mire with our wassail. Wassail, wassail, and joy come to our jolly this ancient old house we will kindly salute. It is the old custom you need not dispute with our wassail. Wassail, wassail, and joy come to our jolly master and the mistress sitting down at their ease. Put your hands in your pockets and give what you please to our wassail. Wassail, wassail, and joy come to our jolly saddle and the bridle, they're hung upon the shelf. If you want any more, you can sing it yourself with our wassail. Wassail, wassail, and joy come to our jolly
stage here. So this next song is more in the Appalachian tradition, and it's played on a mountain dulcimer, a lap dulcimer. You might see people sitting down with this. It's kind of an hourglass-shaped instrument with four strings across it, compared to the hammer dulcimer that has 71 strings. And this is played, typically it's finger-picked or played with a flat pick. A lot of them were really handmade, kind of, they were an easy instrument to make at home. You could get a cigar box, you could just make one out of wood and put a string across it, and there you have an instrument. So this is an old tune called Say Darlin' Say, probably early colonial era for sure, but some of the words you might recognize they're reused in other tunes over across time. So that's what happens with these early folk tunes. And let's see, what else did we hear in that one? The cello, I think we hadn't talked about before. This next one is called Dink Song, D-I-N-K, which was a woman's name. This was collected in 1904 in Texas from a formerly enslaved woman named Dink. And it seemed like she might have come from Mississippi area. It's a little hard to find provenance on some of the earlier songs. And this one sings of some of the trials of women. And there's a lot of euphemisms in these early songs. She sings of her apron. When she wore her apron low, she was fit and trim. And when she wore her apron high, she was pregnant. And the young man, of course, is happy when to come by when the apron is low, but he is nowhere to be found when her apron is high. So, Dink's song. Okay. A little rearranging on the stage. Mm-hmm. So the next song we're going to do is called Three Ravens, and in this case, ravens are emblems of death. They're talking about what shall we have for breakfast today, meaning who is going to die today. And a lot of the early music is either about death or drinking or both. So that's just what was present, I think, in that time. So in this one, the ravens are death, but it also talks about life with loyal friends, protectors, and love. So it does have some redemption.
Oh, yes, and featuring the Irish drum, or Bowron. So you'll hear that
with,
in the background.
Basting brush.
Yes, a basting brush. Entirely. Yes, I think period, it might have been, boar's hair or something like that.
Sure, why not?
Probably not pink.
As they might be, with a doubt.
down, Derry, Derry, Derry down, down. Thank you. Back to the penny whistle.
And I guess this is a good chance to talk about all of the various woodwinds that I'm playing today, which are all in the class called fipple flutes. So there's kind of
fipple?
Fipple, because they have a mouthpiece. F-I-P-P-L-E.
Fipple.
And so there's basically two ways to make a woodwind. One is you blow across it, like a modern flute. So you would hold it sideways.
Yeah.
Fifes in the Revolutionary period were that kind of flute, transverse flute, where you're blowing across the air hole. Or you can use mouthpiece flutes. And this goes way back. There are examples of both of those that are quite ancient. And certainly in the Renaissance and beyond, they have recorders, or a classic fipple flute that many, many people learned to play in elementary school and things like that. But penny whistles, or tin whistles, were also in that category and came about particularly a little bit later. So in the early part of the 19th century, they were sold for a penny by the Clark Company in London and in England. But yeah.
And are we going on board ship?
We are going on board ship with the sailor's hornpipe, although perhaps not one that folks know. So hornpipes are dance tunes that many sailors would be encouraged to dance to keep them docile, shall we say. So you
wear them out.
Wear them out by encouraging people to dance the hornpipe. And this was made famous by Miss Esther Gayton, so sometimes called Miss Gayton's hornpipe. But she did not write it, she just made it famous about 100 years after it became first popular.
Thank you. I don't think I know how to do a hornpipe.
Yeah, it sort of.
Do you? Come on up.
Yeah,
dance a hornpipe.
On the stage.
Dance a hornpipe.
Although every time I dance the stage moves a little bit, so we're just going to do a couple more. This one is called Robin Adair. In this case, Robin being a young man's name. These are real people. This was a song written by Lady Caroline Keppel in London, and she is lamenting the fact that her family is not quite as wealthy in status as his family, and they are discouraging the match. His family is discouraging the match. It has a good ending, not in the song, but in life, they did eventually marry. These were not really people in different social statuses. They were similar, but not quite wealthy enough. So it tells a little bit about what it was like at that time. And she talks about kind of like, it feels very modern to me. It feels like this is how it feels if someone ghosts you, if you write to them or you call them and they never call you back. This is that same feeling. But just remember, it did have a good ending in real life. What's this dull town to me? Robin's not near. What was I wished to see? What wished to hear? Where all the joy and mirth made this town heaven on earth. Oh, they're all fled with thee, Robin Adair. What made the assembly shine, Robin Adair? What made the ball so fine, Robin, he was there. What when the play was o'er, what made my heart so sore? Oh, it was parting with Robin Adair. Shall dwell. Oh, I can ne'er forget Robin Adair. Oh, I can ne'er forget Robin Adair. Thank you. So the whistle you heard on that one was an alto recorder. Yeah, so a little bit deeper voiced one. So we're just going to do one more, and I want to thank the George Washington Birthplace National Monument for having us. It was great to be here. We were here, I think 6 years ago was the last time pre-COVID, which seems like has shaken up a lot of things, and that's what happens. So we don't do a lot of actual Christmas music, but this is one that we like to do this time of year. Just turn the page here. My cable. You know, focusing on goodwill towards each other and putting up with things you might not otherwise put up with or not be as happy about in this busy time. And this, go ahead.
This is another older song, initially published as a broadside ballad, so would have been printed and distributed on newsprint almost. You know that broadside. One single sheet could be packed up as a poster or shared, purchased that way, as many song sheets were. And this one traces back to 1625.
But this is another one that feels really modern. So one of the lines is, cross out of thy books malevolent looks, both beauty and youth decay. Like that one. There's another one. Old grudges forgot are put in the pot, all sorrows aside they lay. And I think of those little ceramic pots that we've been around since the 1970s that say worries, like you open the little jar, put your worry in there. But I love the idea of old grudges forgot are put in the pot. It's fabulous. I guess that's all. Do you want to talk about this wassailing also?
We
will sing for our supper.
Sing for our supper, basically. And yes, lots of entertaining this time of year, certainly. Mostly. By choice. And we'll do some jingling too.
Ah, yes, our nod to the jingling. Including a set from pre-1830 songs, many of which you heard today.
Well, we like a private concert.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us, not just for this episode, but for this season of Upon This Land, History, Mystery, and Monuments. That was our last episode for 2024. We hope to see you again when our new theme for 2025 is We the People. See you next year.